commanded the blessing. He said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment. It's like the oil that flowed from the hair, even down to the beard and upon the skirts of Aaron, the priesthood. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that some of us are just like the Hivites. We live in the place where the anointing flows, but we won't get under the anointing. We live nearby the place where God commands the blessing, but we won't go to the blessing. We doubt and we fear and we won't take the next step because ain't nobody in my village taking that step. So we'll just hang out right here because I'm satisfied with the little bit I got. I'm satisfied with not taking a step of faith. I'm satisfied without taking a leap of faith. Do I have anybody to say, I'm tired of being a Hivite and I'm going to step out on faith and I'm going to become all that God wants me to be? I hope I helped somebody today. Lord have mercy. I'm just trying to give you a picture here, trying to show you the shadow, what God is saying to us. He says in verse 4, and they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. I like that. You know why? Because if God commanded, that means his commands didn't change. He said, I gave them to the fathers, and I want the sons to do it. I gave them to the fathers and the mothers. I want the daughters to do it. Amen? And what we find today is that people are saying that God changes his mind about stuff. But the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to all those preachers who are saying that God changes his mind about certain things, I want to tell them that they are lying. The truth.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Message on faith, it'll take us in a deeper walk or understanding of faith. Thereby, if we understand faith better, we can operate in faith better, thus receiving more of what God said. Because again, faith is going to be that conduit. It's going to be that avenue or arena through which God moves everything from the spiritual realm to the natural realm. So you must understand it in order to benefit from it as God would have you to benefit from it. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Does your Bible say that? All right. Verse 2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Then verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds, with an S, were framed by the word of God. By the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of the those things which do appear. And then if you skip down to verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we want to talk about understanding faith, understanding faith. Verse 1 starts off with the word now, and now is in the tense form, which means past tense, present tense, future tense. So now is in the what tense? Future. Now is in the present tense. And then the next word is faith. What is faith? Well, whatever else faith is simply the conviction and the firm belief in anything. Not just God, but in anything. Now, when it relates to God, faith is believing that God is sovereign. He's supreme. It means that he is the creator and the ruler of all things according to his word. Now, when we have that conviction and when we have that firm, strong belief, then that means that issue is settled. Now, I don't want to move too fast on faith because I want you to understand that all faith means is that you are convicted concretely. That is covered. You don't even need to go back and discuss that tomorrow. It means that you have a strong belief, so much so that your belief cannot be changed. So when you get that straight, then it literally means faith first. Faith first. Now faith means faith first. Because here's what you got to understand, that you can't believe God for anything that God says unless you believe and are convicted that what he says is true. So that means that you've got to have faith already in place. That's why faith is already now. In other words, anything that comes to reality because of faith. So that means I don't have to guess about it, wonder about it, think about it, hope about it if I want it to happen. I've got to already have that settled. And if I've got that settled, then we can move on to the next part. So what we've got to always understand about God is before we can ask him for anything, before we can supposedly speak to him concerning anything, we've got to have that issue already settled with a strong conviction and belief underneath our own skin. In other words, we've got to know what he said, know why he said it, and know that when we say it, we have a right to receive what he said. And that's where our faith is then built upon his word. And we're going to walk through this a little closer to understand that, because if your faith, if your conviction, if your strong belief is there, it has to be based on something. Not on a feeling, not on an emotion, not on a thought, not on an idea, but it must be based on something substantive, something that is real, something that is strong, something that is foundational. So it says, now faith is, again, present tense, the what? Substance is a compound word, which means it's made up of two words, sub and stance. Sub meaning under or below. And so that literally means foundation. It's talking about the foundation. Stance having to do with material and matter, having to be, meaning that is real. So you must have, in essence, firm foundations upon which you are convicted or believe. And so the word of God is the strong foundation, the firm foundation, the matter upon which I say or speak or believe the things that I'm saying that operates in faith. In other words, when I read the word of God or I hear the word of God, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's my foundation. substance right there. My substance for my faith is the Word of God. It is my strong foundation. It is the matter for which I am able to believe. I am convicted. I speak. All right? Now, this is important because you need to understand this elementary, fundamental operation of understanding the word faith to know how to operate in faith. Again, it says, now faith is the substance. That means the foundation, the firm foundation of things hoped for. In other words, whatever I hope for, here is the picture. I found a picture of it in the Word of God. And that picture of it is based on God's Word. And if it's based on God's Word, then I know that it's real. It has substance. It has matter. It has material because God said it. God said it. So things hoped for. Now here's another word. The evidence. Evidence means proof or tested or conviction. Now what's interesting is faith has the word in its definition of conviction. Substance has the word conviction as one of its definitions. And evidence has the word conviction as one of its definitions. So here's what's clear. My faith, my substance, and my evidence must all be with conviction. Now, my conviction is evidenced by the Word of God. That's the evidence that I have. Listen, faith that I have is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof, the test, the conviction of things not seen. Now, if I haven't seen it, then how do I know it's there? Well, I go back to what I already started, to substance. Because the substance is, remember, the foundation. That's under. I don't see that. You don't see, when you look at a house, when you look at a building, do you see the foundation? No, it's under the building. It's holding the building up. So you don't see the foundation. So folk don't see the word, but when I say the word, the reason I'm saying the word is because I know the word. And that's evidence enough for me that God, listen, wouldn't say something that he couldn't back up. So if it's written in his word, that's the evidence that this thing, again, is going to materialize because of what God has already shown me in his word. I don't have no evidence of this thing coming to pass if I can't find it in the word. See, that's why the devil don't want you to know the word, because if you know the word, you've got a foundation. You've got substance. You can build your faith up. You can build your house up. You can build your business up. You can build you up. You can build everything else up on that word based on what God has already said. The evidence is in the fact that if God has said it, it exists. Though it may not exist in my life, it does exist somewhere, some way, somehow. And my faith will cause it to materialize into my life. Now, what I got to understand is, while it may never come to me, the evidence is if it's recorded in the Word of God, it exists. Because if it exists in the mind of God, then either God will speak it forth and it come to pass, or by faith I will speak it forth and it'll come to pass. But if I miss it, God won't. So that's the evidence. See, that's why I need to make sure. That's why I like to teach principles, because principles are profitable regardless of who practices them. And when you know the principles and practice them, then you have a right to have God to back up his word, to honor his word, to warrant his word. So the principles here teach us that God's word gives to us the foundation to believe everything that he said, that he is the creator and the ruler of all things. And so notice verse 2 goes on to say, for by it, For by what? For by faith. The rulers obtained a good report. Now, may I say to you that I don't care who you are, you will never receive a good report from God without faith. The just shall live by faith. That's a good report. I don't care what they call you, what you've achieved, what you've accomplished in this life. If faith is not a part of it, then God isn't pleased with it. And that's not a good report. You remember when the spies, the 12 spies, were sent out to spy the land of Canaan. Well, 10 of the spies said, we can't take it. They got giants in the land. 2 came back and said, we are well able to do it. Let's go up at once and do it. That was a good report to God. Why? Because it was a report of faith. It was 2 men saying, if God said it, we believe it, and that settles it. But here's what the truth was, that because God said it, it was settled whether they believed it or not. So the truth of the matter is, the 2 had a good report because they agreed with the word of God. The 10 did not have a good report because they disagreed with the word of God. Let me tell you something. God's word is settled, non-negotiable, non-discussable as it relates to the reality and the authenticity of his word. In other words, you can't change his mind because he doesn't change. So don't ever get in an argument with God because you'll lose. If you want to change somebody's mind, change your own mind. Cause your mind to align with God's word and watch things change in your life, because God is not going to change his mind. He's been around here too long. He knows what works and what doesn't work. You just got here a few days ago. In a few days from now, you ain't going to be here. And he's going to still be here. So he knows what works and what does not work. Trust him. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Now look at verse 3. Because verse 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Listen to this. Through faith now. Through faith, we understand. Now, the question is, do we understand? Now, here are the 3 things I want you to learn between these 6 verses that I'm giving to you today. First of all, I need you to understand the order of faith. Then I need you to understand the operation of faith. And then I need you to understand the outcome of faith. Because if you don't understand the order of faith, and here's verse 3 really making this clear. Verse 1 talked about what faith is and does in that sense. And then 2 followed up by saying those who followed faith got a good report. But verse 3 tells us how this thing came to be, the order of it. Because look at what it says. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, meaning every world that exists, was framed by the word of God. Now, we have foundation in verse 1, but in verse 3, we have frame. Now, the foundation is sub, beneath, underneath. You don't see that. So when you got the word of God, it is underneath your faith. It is supporting your faith. The word is supporting your faith. But now, here's what happens. You begin to speak and it frames. So whatever house or building you see, if you ever watch the process after the foundation is settled and set, then they start building the frame. You lay a foundation, that's down. But you build up a frame up. That's where you begin to put shape to your ideas, put shape to your thoughts, bring a diagram, a plan, a rendering into effect by the speaking of your words. In other words, your words begin to act as an architect and design for you the world upon which God's going to build. So when you speak positively, God's going to build it based on what you framed up. So if you speak negatively, then you're going to get negative things that are going to be built up on the framework that you built up. So that's why you got to be careful what you say, because you are framing up your world. You are shaping. Listen, God spoke it. The Holy Ghost built it. Jesus witnessed it. That was the plan of God in the beginning. When he said it, Jesus was right there. Holy Ghost took it. Jesus witnessed God speaking it. That was framing it. The Holy Ghost operated as the contractor and built it the way God said it. When he said, let there be, the Holy Ghost say, all right, here it is. God looked at it. Jesus said, it's good. Yes, it is. Everything. So keep this in mind. When you operate by faith, you begin to frame it, speak it into existence. Before it ever comes to fruition, manifestation, before it's ever built in totality, you've already set the framework. For your success, you spoke it out your own mouth. For your demise or destruction, you spoke it out your own mouth. You framed it up, and either God or the devil built it up. Somebody ought to say, have mercy, Lord. Yeah, because you are a product of your own mouth, of your own faith, be it good or bad. And faith works in the positive just as it works in the negative. So understand the order of faith. God spoke it. The Holy Ghost materialized it, manifested, built it, brought it to pass. The same thing happens to us. The same thing happens to us. So the things which are seen, the things that you and I can look at, that we can view, that are visible with the natural eye, were not made by things that do appear. In other words, everything that we can see, faith produced it. It was produced by the faith of God or by the faith of man. But everything you see was produced by faith. Everything. The chairs you sit on now, they were produced by faith. Everything, the lights you see with and by, produced by faith. I mean, and when you get into supernatural things and other things that are far deeper than that, then again, God spoke it. He framed it up. And so the reality is the manifestation of it came as a result of what was spoken by faith. Now, verse 4 talks about Abel's work by faith. Verse 5 talks about Enoch's walk by faith. But verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, obviously verse 5 and verse 4 says whether you're working or you're walking, you got to have faith. Regardless, it don't even matter. See, because here what is clear is the fact that the order has already been established in verse 3. Now the operation must be in faith. Whether you're working, you ought to work in faith. Whether you're walking by faith. So all of that must include faith. Your operation, day to day, work or walk, must be in faith. Everything you do ought to be by faith. Because without faith, verse 6 says, it is impossible to please him. Now, do you know what the word impossible means? You can't do it. It literally means you can't do it. No matter how hard you try, how long you try, you cannot do it. It's impossible. Unobtainable. You cannot please him. Why? That ought to show you the effervescence and the eternal relationship that God has with faith. With faith. It is the connector between heaven and earth. Between man and God. It is the portal through which God passes everything. So if you don't have faith, you don't have a portal through which God produces or presents something to you. That's why you need the faith there. for God to give it to you, if he wants to give it to you, you've got to have that portal open to receive it. But if it's not there, you can't even get it. Listen, if I wanted to send you something and didn't have your address, well, I still have it for you, but I can't ship it till I get an address to ship it somewhere. I can't just give the post up and say, hey, just take this. Whenever you see John, I don't care where you see me, give it to him. That ain't gonna work. Now, it may be mine, but it'll stay right here. Do you know the post office has a dead letter section? And a dead letter section is where they make out a letter and address it and do not either have a correct address or a complete address or an address at all. So when you say to Santa in the North Pole, it go to the dead letter section. Have I got a helper here? And so that's the way it is. If you write to God, you call God, you pray to God, you ask God, God for this, God for that, and you don't have an address, no faith, no portal for which God to send it, God has it for you, but he can't get it to you because you ain't got no address. You ain't got no faith for him to send it through. No address for him to send it to. And so that's why you don't get it sometime, because you don't get faith. You don't understand the operation of faith. But this, now we're in verse 6 that deals with the outcome of faith. The outcome of faith. Because notice here it's saying, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, he that cometh, that means more than one time. That also actually means the process of coming, which means that before you even get there, you have got to be faithful. Faithful. Full of faith before you even get to. He that cometh to God. To God. Cometh is so important, because what it means is, before you ever come to him, you ought to have it settled under your own skin that this is what you want, this is what God wants for you. You already checked it out in his word, and the only thing you need to add to it is faith. And if you add to your faith, then you believe when you ask him, you're going to have what you asked him for. So that's got to be settled before you even come to him. And when you come to him, you've got to be so clear about that that you don't let doubt creep in the middle of your starting and your stopping. Like the woman who said, when she made up her mind that she wanted to be healed by Jesus, if I could but touch, she said that all the way from the moment she made up her mind to go find him to the moment she found him, she kept saying that, believing that. To the boy who was returning back home to his father, Luke 15, from the moment he recognized he was in a pig spit, he was in a bad place, he was in a place he didn't want to be, when he came to himself, from that moment all the way back home, he kept saying, I was saying to my father, Father, I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He kept saying that all the way home so that he would not be, listen, taken off of the path, converted to another way of thought. He made concrete in his own thinking his own conviction. In other words, when you make up your mind that's what you want, you keep speaking, Lord, I thank you that I have so-and-so. I believe I've got so-and-so. Lord, I thank you for so-and-so. So-and-so is what I've asked. So-and-so is what you've given me. You keep saying it to make concrete your foundation.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for